Blog Good evening and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? Happy Sunday. It's Sunday, July 27th. I hope you're having a wonderful day. It's the weather is beautiful here in Atlanta. And it's just been a great weekend. And once again, I am Donna Paige Riley, your host. I am also the owner of Paige's Etiquette Seminars and known as the Etiquette Lady. And I'm just so very glad that you've had an opportunity to join me this evening. Thank you so much. Let me go ahead and give you the number. It is 347-324-3295. Once again, 347-324-3295. And if you prefer, you may go ahead and you can email us at info@pagesetiquette.com. Once again, info@pagesetiquette.com. And once again, I'm the owner of Paige's Etiquette Seminars, which basically specializes in personal and professional development training. And also, I'm the author of What is Etiquette Anyway?, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. And it's just a wonderful book that teaches children social skills and appropriate behavior. Some of the topics that are covered in that particular book is telephone manners, table manners, posture and poise, just basically being polite. It even has a chapter on self-esteem and self-confidence. And, of course, when a child feels good and confident about themselves, then they're more apt to behave a little more appropriately. The other book is What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key Ingredients for Building Successful Relationships. And some of the topics included in that book is communication skills, networking, when the doors open, are we really ready to serve? That's one of the chapters that regarding customer service, which is very big. It needs to be bigger. I think Clark Howard refers to a lot of times as customer no service. So we want to certainly, you know, be conscious of having appropriate customer service if we want customers to continue to basically come into or patronize even our businesses. Now, these books, as well as the affirmation CDs and any of the other motivational materials, may be purchased off the website. And once again, that site is www.pagesetiquette.com. Once again, pagesetiquette.com. Now, for the new listeners, as I like to do every week, because I'm aware that we do have new listeners joining us weekly, I'd like to kind of talk about the title of the show, What is Etiquette Anyway? The actual word etiquette itself comes from a French word, meaning ticket. And actually, it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. These rules, however, became the requirements of behavior everywhere. And I always tell people, so that they can say this word correctly or pronounce it correctly, etiquette comes from a French word meaning ticket. If you say the word slowly, you actually hear yourself say ticket. So it's pronounced etiquette, even though it is spelled E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E. So the reason that the Q adapt the K sound is because it comes from the word ticket. So therefore, you know, knowing a little bit about the origin of the word will prevent you from mispronouncing it. How about that? And of course, if you have good etiquette, then you indeed hold the ticket to society. Again, welcome to the talk show version of What is Etiquette Anyway? I'd like to bring on the co-host for this evening, Denise. Hi, Denise. How are you?
Hi, Donna. How are you today?
I am doing well. How's your Sunday going?
Very, very good. I've had a wonderful Sunday, wonderful afternoon.
Great. Well, what we're going to talk about today, of course, as you know, is we're going to continue talking a little bit about travel etiquette and as well as pet peeves. And, of course, pet peeves is usually, you know, a pretty popular show because we all have them, don't we?
Absolutely.
And then, of course, you know, some of us may have a few more than others. But it's great. We just like to do the show just to make people conscious of different things that they may not be conscious of. And, of course, you know, we want to make the world a polite place to live. So what we want to do, Denise, why don't we go ahead and bring on our first caller. How about that?
That sounds great, Donna.
Hello, caller. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Caller, can you hear me? Hello? Okay, I'm not quite sure what's going on. We are evidently having an issue. I can hear a little static in the background.
Mm-hmm.
You might need to hang up, caller, and give us a call back. And actually, Denise, I would like to, we were unable to get to any of our emails last week. We had so many calls. So let me go ahead and read one of our emails. And the particular one is, of course, last week you discussed adult workers who you have to tell what to do every day. Okay, last week you discussed adult workers who you have to tell what to do every day. When is it a good time to fire these people? And this is from a listener in New York. And what they're referring to, of course, Denise, if you remember, we had a gentleman that called in last week, and he was talking about he had several employees.
Mm-hmm.
And remember his story, every day he had to tell them to do the same thing, even though it was repetitious what they did.
Right.
Okay. So that's interesting that we would get an email because this person evidently was like, look, if you got to tell these people, and they're grown, working people to do the same thing every day, when is a good time to get rid of them? So, Denise, I think I'll let you answer that since you're our HR expert.
Well, you know, Donna, it is a good question. And in the workplace, there are rules and regulations, policies and procedures that you should follow. And I know in my environment, we do have guidelines as to when a person is not completing their task, failure to follow instructions, or job performance issues. And if it is significant to the point where it's impeding the business, then we do go ahead and write those folks up for job performance, or failure to follow, or failure to do their job. And in my business, there are steps that you have to follow. So it's not always that easy to just fire someone right off the bat. So there has to be a step process. In most businesses, I would think that there is a step process, and I know that in the last 20 years during the time that I've worked in the retail environment, that's what we follow, and each company has a different process. But at some point, I agree with the email writer. When do you address it? Because it only makes your job as a supervisor or manager more stressful if you have to go behind someone and ask them or tell them or prompt them to do the job that they were hired for, as well as the job that they may have been doing for a long, long time, it can be very frustrating. So for that reader, at some point, that manager probably needs to put it in writing so that those people who are not productive enough for that company can eventually go away.
And I'm looking right now, getting a response here coming through on, I don't know if New York is an at-will state, but...
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. So even with at-will or not at-will, Georgia is an at-will state. That I do know. However, most companies here do have a process to take, to deal with or discuss with employees proper procedures and how to, they have a way of handling these types of situations instead of just letting someone go. Even though it's an at-will state, the companies I've worked for, most of them in Georgia, we did not just let them go off the just right off the bat. We gave them an opportunity to correct whatever the issue was.
And for those listeners who may not be aware of what the meaning of at-will or if it's a not at-will state, can you explain that?
Well, at-will means that a company in that given state or area can fire or let go someone for anything. It could be for no reason or for anything, which means that here in Georgia, specifically, if an employer sees that a person comes to work late one time and it's 1 minute and they don't want that person here, then they can let that person go. They can fire them for coming to work late for 1 minute. So it's pretty extreme, but I think most employers who, especially the bigger companies, try to keep a policy in place to help those employees improve their work habits or tardiness or what have you.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that, say, the stress level of most employees are at a higher level perhaps in those at-will states, knowing that they can be let go or terminated for any reason? What's your take on that?
Well, it could be depending on the company, and it also depends on how that company deals with their employees. Again, the policy. If there's a policy in place, that company should be following that policy, because if they do let someone go without going through those steps, then that is another issue in itself. That brings about other issues when a company is inconsistent in their way of handling people. So if I'm not sure if it would be very frustrating for those employees. I would only imagine that it could be, but if there is a policy in place, most employees are somewhat at ease because they know that those companies are going to try and follow their guidelines so that they are consistent and fair.
Okay, just, kind of making people a little more comfortable out there knowing that even though it's an at-will state and, you can be terminated for any reason, but what you're saying is, however, there still is policy and procedure to follow.
In most cases, that is correct.
Okay, great. Well, hopefully that kind of explained to that listener that sent us that email. They didn't identify just the listener in New York, so hopefully that was able to kind of clear up and let them know. Because I know John was a little passionate. That was his name that called last week. He was a little passionate about having to continue to tell these employees to do the same thing over and over and over when it was, already a repetitious, job. So that is pretty interesting. Let's see if we pull a caller on. Hello, caller, can you hear me? Hello? 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 Okay. All right. Okay. I would like to actually, I'm going to pull an additional email. It says, one of my pet peeves is adults that have an offensive body odor. How do you tell someone they stink?
This wow.
Person has, mm-hmm, this person has had this problem for a while, and many people at work talk about him, but no one will say anything to him. Mm-hmm. I guess I will, from a concerned coworker. Okay, we are talking about being polite, huh? Actually, and I'll start it, and you can just kind of jump in here.
Sure, I will. I've had to deal with this before.
Is that right? Wow. And, of course, it's uncomfortable, but, you know, in being polite, oftentimes is not necessarily what you say, but
mm-hmm.
it's how you
how
say
you
it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real important. And oftentimes, if you have, you've kind of, if this has been a challenge for you for a while, usually the longer the challenge, it seems like you might have a little less, I guess, patience with it. So you generally don't want it to go on too long, but evidently this person is like, okay, this has been going on for a while. You know, other people talk about it, but, you know, no one's getting to the root, which is basically getting to this person. And, you know, of course, once again, in being polite, you want to make sure that this person is pulled to the side, you know, by
mm-hmm.
themselves. You know, you never want to say anything, of course, offensive to someone in front of other people. So the first thing
that's correct.
Yeah, has to be just pulled over to the side, you know, by themselves. And oftentimes people just don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had this situation occur a few times, and I know generally in most companies this is a task for HR, and I'll never forget
mm-hmm.
the time that I actually worked for a company, and the HR rep came to me and asked me if I would talk to this person. They were like, you're so nice, and, you know, well, can't you just tell them? I'm like, isn't that your job? You're the HR person. And I'm thinking, wait a minute here. I hope somebody's getting something twisted here. But anyway, you know, I did. I ended up having to tell this person, you know, that just, you know, people have observed, and they may not even realize it, and that's
right.
kind of how I started is, you know, you may not realize it, but, you know, this is, you know, kind of been a problem, and, you know, you don't know if it's a health issue going on or
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that, because those types of things are possible as well, but just basically just to pull someone, you know, to the side and just kind of let them know that, you know, this has kind of been a little bit of a problem. I don't know if you're aware or not, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention. Is there anything we can help you with?
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't, they don't state on here. It just says body odor. It doesn't say,
mm-hmm.
you know, anything specific like breath or anything like that, because a lot of times people say, well, I'll just bring them some, hand them a bar of soap, or I'll just give them some mouthwash. And, you know, I'm like, and then, you know, that's not real good, you know.
No, not at all.
That can be a little offensive. But, you know, and generally the people that always are talking about what they would do are the ones that are asking you to do it. So go
absolutely.
Fix that. But, you know, my take is just to, you know, to be as kind and as courteous as possible, because, you know, once again, we want to be polite, and we do want to treat others the way we want to be treated. But I know since this is generally an HR task, you know, and I know you said you've done this before. Give us an example of maybe, you know, one that you had to do and exactly how you handled it.
You know, Donna, it's interesting that you help this person through this particular situation, and people do not feel comfortable always sitting and telling someone those kinds of things. And I've had to do it several times, but I do specifically remember this one in particular. It's been about 15 years ago. And it was kind of hard to deal with this one because there are certain people who have, customs where the food may be a particular odor or flavor, and it's very pungent. Or they may do things to ward off certain evil spirits or what have you. And in this case, that is exactly what this was. The woman was wearing garlic. She had it on her person. She had it in her pockets, whatever garment she was wearing. She was from Africa. And a very, very sensitive situation because I didn't know fully what this particular, why she was wearing the garlic. And after getting complaints from employees as well as customers, I did have to sit down with her and basically like you did, very, very calm, very, very sensitive conversation. And she said that she did not know that it was that offensive to others, that they could smell it like that. And she had been wearing it for some time. And I know with body odor, with any kind of odor, a person can get used to that smell and not really smell it. So I did explain to her that in this particular environment, we had had those complaints and I asked her, I said, is there any reason why you're wearing it? And that is exactly what she told me, was to ward off evil spirits. She didn't feel comfortable. She felt like something was going on with her in her life, and she was just in an uncomfortable state. So I did ask her to stop wearing the garlic. Because of the business, not because I, just wanted her to, and just explain it to her well enough that she understood it. Now, she did stop wearing the garlic. However, it was very, very interesting what happened later because she came up pregnant. So I don't know if she was trying to keep herself from becoming pregnant or if she was in fear of her baby having some issues. But later on, she had the baby, everything was fine, but it was a very, very delicate situation to have to deal with. And any time you're dealing with any kind of body odor or anything that's offensive, to have to sit down and tell a person, it's a little bit tough. But you know what? You did say one thing. If you're not able to do it, then have someone else do it who may be able to be very calm and sensitive to the situation. In most cases, HR is the person, and I have been approached in the last year to have to sit down and do something like this with another employee, but very, very sensitive area, very sensitive. But in most cases, if you're upfront with the person, I think that you can get your point across without being without offending that person.
Mhm. Well, that was definitely an interesting story. with garlic. That's interesting.
Yeah, that was really tough. She was wearing quite a bit of garlic.
Wow, that is interesting. I know that when people, of course, eat garlic or they eat foods containing garlic, it usually can be very offensive, but I can't imagine someone actually wearing it as well. So
yes, that was pretty rough for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to the switchboard and see. Hello, caller, are you there? Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Okay. I apologize, you guys. I don't quite know what's going on with our switchboard. Again, I hope it doesn't have anything to do with some of our opening music. It's just hopefully it didn't, you know, have an effect on the switchboard, which I wouldn't think it did. This is our first show that we've used some opening music to our show, and hopefully that was just kind of woke everybody up. That'd be great. But I'm so sorry we're unable to pull anyone. I don't know what is going on. But and it looks like, I'm just not sure, but I have another, we are getting a chance to answer emails, which usually we have so many calls, oftentimes we're unable to do that. This one is from Daisha from Atlanta, and it says, pet peeves, okay, out of control children. What is the correct way to reprimand a child who is running through the store and pulling down items? The mom seems not to know what to do. All right.
Mm.
Okay. Well, I've seen this occur time after time, and you think, you know, there isn't a parent or an adult, you know, around. And basically, she doesn't say if I'm a, well, I don't know. I was getting ready to say I assume she probably works in this store. But I'm in looking at this, it's just kind of generic. How do you correct, you know, how do you reprimand a child? Well, let's look at it from both angles. Say this is someone that this is a, they're working in the store and they're seeing this happen. And generally, you most certainly have the right to, you know, reprimand a child that is just running around out of control. And you want to do it. It's perfectly okay to do it in front of the parent, because oftentimes if you do it in front of the parent, it will make them want to say something too. Now, this happened. This has happened to me in the past, not necessarily in a store, but I was teaching a class one time, and just at the very beginning, I just started this workshop, and these kids were probably, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. It was probably about 20 of them, and they were just kind of off the chain. And I don't like to, you know, holler or scream or anything like that. And basically, you know, what I tell them is, you know, I'm not going to be rude and talk where they're talking, and, you know, I'll just wait, but it won't be long. And so after, I guess they thought, and I just stood there. And so it was so funny to me, because it wasn't until I said that, then some of the other parents said, oh, you guys, be quiet. You got, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I have this now. I mean, you know, it would have been great for you to offer your comment prior to me having, you know, to say anything. So, you know, therefore, I just, you know, just kind of waited. But it's perfectly okay to reprimand a child when they're running to the store. And definitely to find out where their mom is and to talk to their mom. And you can talk to their mom as if, you know, perhaps, you know, they didn't know that that's what they were doing. But letting the mom know that, listen, you know, you're going to have to hold on to your child, because they're pretty much, it says pulling down items, so, you know, your child is destroying this department, and we can't have that. And so that is quite, you know, it's fine. And once again, it's not necessarily what you say, but it is how you say it. And that does make a big difference. And I don't know if you've, you know, run across anything like that. And I know with you being in retail, you may have.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I'm sure you've seen something, you know, to one degree or other that has to do with kids running through the store. And they didn't really say how old this child was. I'm hoping young. Because hopefully older children know not to do this, but, I mean.
Yes, we would hope that. It is perfectly okay to say something, and I do when I'm out and about in the areas of where they are running in the stores. But, you know, Donna, sometimes parents don't appreciate, but I still do it anyway. I've had parents to comment for me not to talk to their child that way when it was it was a nice way that I talked to them. And, you know, my thing was I explained to the parent, too, running or hanging on racks of clothing, and I know you've shopped before and probably have seen kids underneath racks, and sometimes they hang on and swing on those racks. Those racks are not made for that, and they could tumble over and hurt the child. So from a safety standpoint, of course you should. You don't want to see anybody's child get hurt. You don't, because then the parents are in a different state. And to me, if you're, you know, proactive and say something before that happens, I think most parents should appreciate it. I would appreciate it if I had kids and someone said something to me about my children running or hanging onto racks or climbing up onto things. And they don't always know that the items or the things that they're climbing on is stable, you know, and a child could flip or fall and hurt themselves. And to me, my child's safety is definitely important in these types of situations. I would appreciate it.
And you remember, you know, years ago, I know when I was growing up, you know, adults, it takes a village to raise a child, and that is still prevalent today. It should be prevalent anyway. But quite naturally, you know, if you were doing something, then, you know, whoever it was, the adult or the neighbor, would reprimand you and then let your mom, you know. And then by the time you got home, she reprimanded you as well. But I think now so many people are so afraid to say things to not just their children, but other people's children, because so many of them are just, you know, they're so disrespectful. But, you know, so I think a lot of parents just kind of feel, well, I'm just whatever, I'm not even going to deal with it. But, and that's not the way it should be, because we still have to, you know, all be concerned, you know, about one another. And it does take a village to raise a child. So, you know, I'm very old school when it comes to things like that. And even with what you were talking about safety issues, I remember when I would see some of the little boys, when my son was little, some of the little boys in the neighborhood, I would see, I'll never forget this one little boy. I mean, he was wonderful at tumbling and gymnastics. And I looked out the window one day, to the neighbors across the street, and this guy had a red pickup truck, I'll never forget. And I looked out there just in time to see this little boy who was probably, he may have been 9 or 10 at the time. And I looked outside and I saw him standing on the bed, you know, on the bed part of that truck, and he did a back flip. Now, the truck was parked on the street. He did a back flip off of that man's, the bed of the truck, and it startled me. And, of course, I went running out of the house, and, you know, he had done it at that point. He was quick and fast, and I went outside, and I asked him, I said, did that man give you, you know, permission to get on his truck? Because I can just imagine, had he hit that concrete, you know, because it was parked out on the street, had he hit that concrete and busted his head open, you know, I mean, that would not have been a pretty sight. Plus, you know, who knows? People are so sue happy. You know, who knows?
Absolutely.
I mean, his mom may have tried to sue the man, which, you know, his truck was on the street in front of his home, and he did not give this little boy permission to jump in the back of his truck and then jump off and do a backflip. So, I mean, I ran out, and I would see things like that happen all the time. Even, you know, nowadays you see children just walking. I mean, they just walk through everybody's yard as if it was a sidewalk. And, you know, so those are some other things that, you know, we have to be concerned about. And I would ask them, did they give you permission to ride your bicycle through their yard? And usually the kids will go, oh, no, well, I don't think you should be doing that. Okay. You know, okay, yes, ma'am. But no, we can't, you know, be at a point where we fear these children because
that's
they need
right.
direction. They need to be reprimanded, and that's how they grow. and they act, they need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is very important. Let's see if we have any more luck or better luck on our switchboard. Hello, caller, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Let me try to go to line 4. Let's see. Wow, you guys, I so apologize. I'm not quite sure what's going on, and I certainly do apologize. And evidently, well, people are, they're emailing, so let me pull another email. It just says, my pet peeve, people picking their teeth in public. People picking their teeth in public. And this is a person that's located in Maryland. Well, I don't know if it's people picking their teeth with a toothpick or their fingers or a fork or whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is, actually. It's all really rude. Number one, picking your teeth, however you do it, should be a private affair. That is nothing that really should be shared in public. And I've been in restaurants where, and I can't just say normally, probably up until this point to me, I think it's more common for men to do this because, you know, to whip out a toothpick or something or, you know, and just start picking their teeth. But I recall one day seeing a female, you know, probably a young female in her early 30s, and what she did is she pulled out some dental floss, which, dental floss is great to use. I mean, it's wonderful for the teeth and it stimulates the gums. However, she did it at the table. And I'm thinking, no, she is not getting ready to sit at the table and floss her teeth.
Mm.
And actually, that's exactly what she did. So,
but you know, most places have a restroom.
Right.
And, you know.
Exactly. I mean.
Okay, so what did you do at that point, Donna?
Well, you know me. I had to kind of put my head down and just act like it wasn't happening. I guess I went into denial. How about that?
Ooh.
Like, this just is not happening. And I thought to myself, I said, well, maybe since she pulled out the dental floss, maybe she thought since she had dental floss in lieu of a toothpick or, you know, a fork or anything like that, you know, perhaps she thought that was okay because she had, I guess, the proper thing to, you know, pick her teeth, floss, if you will. But I not very often am I speechless. I was speechless. Okay.
Wow.
I
am so surprised that you.
I,
you know what? That's another one of those sensitive, kind of difficult things to, you know, to kind of deal with somebody, especially somebody you're just in a restaurant with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sensitive area, I think.
Right. Not often am I speechless, but I couldn't say anything. I just couldn't.
But yeah, and maybe next time you can give her one of your cards and say, call me.
Right.
Oh.
And she was doing it, you know, very boldly and confidently, like she was in her bathroom, you know. Doing
wow.
But just like you said, yes, listeners, there is usually a restroom, especially in every restaurant, and they're pretty decent. I mean, the restrooms are overall pretty decent, and they're usually open, you know, during restaurants.
Right.
But
oh, boy.
Picking teeth, brushing teeth, blowing your nose, you know, all things really are, you know, they fall under the category of personal hygiene. And, of course, the first word is personal. And usually, if you're talking about something personal, that means is something that should only be kind of taking place with you and not really
right.
shared. Not shared
in private. Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, that was interesting. So Lisa from Maryland, you know, I don't know, it just, since you just said what in your pet peeves is people picking their teeth in public, I, you know, wasn't quite sure if you wanted to, you know, talk to somebody and tell them not to do that, or if that's just kind of a pet peeve of yours. But I guess ordinarily, you know, I may have said something to her had I not been so shocked, because that really was the first time I saw that happen. And, you know, she was doing it without any embarrassment. So. But if you had to say something, you know, you might just kind of pull them to the side if you know them. I didn't know this lady, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I cannot believe you about to floss your teeth like you're at the dentist's office or something. So. But anyway, that was interesting. So once again, what is very important is to go back and, you know, just remind people to say that it's not necessarily what you say, but once again, it's how you say it and what
mm-hmm.
is so important. You know, I always try to talk about the golden rule, which is the first rule of etiquette, and that is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, or treat others the way you want to be treated. So
mm-hmm.
we always have to remember, you know, if someone were coming to us and they were reprimanding us, or, you know, they needed to correct us, how would we like, you know, what would we, how and what would we like for them to say? So I always keep that in mind if I need to, you know, talk to someone and without being very offensive, you know, because it's just nice to be nice, as we always say. That is really interesting. Let me try again. I know we're running out of time. I'm just so sorry we're unable to pull any callers. Let's see. Caller number, line number 2. Hello, caller. Can you hear me? Hello? Caller, can you hear me? Okay. I apologize. I'm not quite sure. What is going on with our switchboard? We haven't had a storm or anything today, unlike a couple weeks ago, but I am just not quite sure. But callers, I certainly do apologize, and thank you for the emails that you're sending. I'm glad, you know, we're able to receive those, and just, you know, thank you so much for listening. And we certainly enjoy speaking with you or hearing from you if it's via email every week. So we do appreciate that as well. Well, Denise, it has certainly been fun.
Yes,
today,
indeed.
Mm-hmm. We've had some interesting emails, and I'm glad we've had a chance, because oftentimes we don't have a chance to get to our emails. So
right.
This actually, and it worked out well, so we could at least address the emails. And we did have some good ones. They were good and interesting.
Absolutely.
So hopefully the listeners, you know, they were able to hear the response. And, of course, with the body odor and the picking of the teeth and the out-of-control children and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's just everybody has pet peeves, so that's okay. But once again, you know, let's thank everyone for spending this time with us. We certainly appreciate it. And we want to invite you to, you know, continue listening. We appreciate that. Continue listening. And, of course, as you know, you have been listening to the talk show version of What is Etiquette Anyway? And I encourage you every single week to please make sure that you feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and be the best you can be. And in that order as well. And remember, you know, it's just nice to be nice, and just continue to be considerate of others and be the best that you possibly can be. Thanks again for listening. Good night, and God bless.